I speak to you in the name of Jesus, risen from the dead. Amen. He told me that he had to go far away to a place called Korea to fly an airplane. He said he would come home and tell me all about it, but he never returned. I was 4 years old, and Bobby Burnett was my hero. I followed him all around the hallways and classrooms of my father's church in Punta Gorda. I was four, and Bobby Burnett was big and impressive and my hero. But he never came home. For 70 years, I have mourned Bobby Burnett. I have wondered if anybody else mourned his not coming home. Just a few years ago, I contacted his sister, who was still living. She told me that they still had not recovered Bobby's remains, but that they had just had a memorial service at Arlington National Cemetery. And Bobby Burnett has finally come home. This is one of the years when the Sunday after the Ascension, our memory of Jesus' final going away from the disciples, falls on Memorial Day weekend. We are not surprised to hear 1 Peter warn about the fiery ordeal and the promise that after suffering much, we will be restored, supported, strengthened, and established. There can be no fiery ordeal more fearsome than the ordeal endured by the men and women of our country who gave the last full measure of their devotion, that we might live in freedom, justice, and that we might build the beloved community in America. The story has been told and rehearsed from the beginning. The brave militias who did not return to South Carolina or Massachusetts once independence had been won. Those brave men who did not return to Charleston or Tampa or Boston or Buffalo when the guns went silent and our terrible Civil War fell to a close. The doughboys who fell in the Ardennes or lay dead in the mud of the Somme. The young men who fell on the beaches of Normandy or succumbed to the savagery in the Pacific Islands. The courageous men and women who trooped off again to Korea and, like my hero Bobby Burnett, did not return. The men of my generation who were shipped off to the far side of the earth, waded through rice paddies, and lay bloodied and dying in the jungles of Vietnam. Those new generations of brave men and now women whose last days were offered in the deserts of Iraq or the mountains of Afghanistan. The story has never been exhausted, and our national soul feels compelled to remember all these who sacrificed their lives by stopping our normal course of things, even in this strange epidemic interlude of our normal life, to remember and give abundant thanks for all these sons and brothers, husbands and fathers, uncles and nephews, sisters, mothers, daughters, aunts and nieces, to remember that there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for those we love. Every generation needs to hear the story. It is not the time for ideological warfare. It is not the time to weigh and compare war deaths or to valorize some and demonize others. It is just our annual day of solemn silence, remembrance, and immense thanksgiving. It is a day to be reminded that freedom and life always pass through the fiery ordeal before we may live in peace. We are near the end of Easter on this Sunday. One more Sunday, Pentecost. After anticipating our being orphaned by Jesus last week, we now have to face his leaving, up or away or somewhere beyond our grasp. and he will not return soon. When we assemble next, it will be a great wind that blows through our company and fills us with hope and deliverance. It has always confounded me that the last words we hear from Jesus at the end of these great 50 days of Easter are words of glory and unity, as if the fiery ordeal has passed and it is now time to rest in the presence of God, to know God because we know Jesus. In his great high priestly prayer, Jesus offers to God himself and his life back to the glory from which he came. He says, "I have finished the work you gave me to do. And now, Holy Father, protect them so that they may be one as we are one." A great part of our sorrow on this Memorial Day weekend, as we remember all the men and women who sacrificed their lives and died for our country, is our sense that they did not finish the lives given them by their Creator. I have journeyed to the Vietnam Memorial in Washington several times, the great gash of black marble in the ground on the mall. Every time I walk slowly down to the center and gaze upon that great scroll of love and valor stretching above my head, I am sorrowed by the names: Walter L. Wells, Cristobal Melendez, Booker Smith Jr. I think of the lives they did not live, the children they did not raise, the grandchildren, they never knew, the anniversaries they could not celebrate, the parents they would never mourn. It seems so unfinished. But it must always seem unfinished. Bobby Burnett ended his life as a young man, a first lieutenant in the Air Force. His sister traveled on in life without her brother to comfort her. And although there's a memorial to him now in the Arlington National Cemetery, there are great things that might have been done had he not been shot down over Korea. On this seventh Sunday of Easter, there is an end, but things are not finished. Jesus' time with his disciples comes to an end. As they look on, he is gone. But they returned to Jerusalem. They went to the upstairs room, perhaps the same room where Jesus came to them on the first day. And together with the women of their company, they devoted themselves to prayer and waited for the next chapter of the story. Not finished. Jesus gone, but the story not finished. The fiery ordeal is not the end. The great suffering of the present does not break us. At the end, on the night before he died, Jesus began his prayer, "Father, the hour has come." I have mourned Bobby Burnett, my hero, for 70 years. So long as I remember, his story is not finished. I take great strength from his witness, his courage, his journey through the fiery ordeal. Let this day and this weekend find us resolved to finish the story, to honor the sacrifices, to do our best to fulfill Jesus' prayer that all may be one. Amen.